While you're standing, the word of the Lord is before us in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. We'll read two verses there. As you're turning, I want to certainly, protocol has already been established. We certainly join in all that's been said. These beautiful pastors and wives and all of the people of God who are here tonight, we love you so much and thank God for you. This is a high occasion. And so in situations like this, I try to be focused on what God would say to the people in this season. It's important to hear what God is saying. And the pastor and his wife are just wonderful people. Hallelujah. Checked into the hotel yesterday, and I never had two rooms by myself. I got a room, then you got a room next to the room. That's your room too. I just been in both rooms. I've been back and forth. I had an adjoining suite and all that. I ate everything in the room. He said you got a credit card on file, so amen. I hope they got a good offering. I tried to make sure they had a good one. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want them to go in the hole on my account. I will never come back. They will never be back. Hallelujah. We went in the hole on August. Hallelujah. And I told Overseer Smith, I said, I got to watch you, because he called me today. I was talking to him. I'm in the room. What you doing, Bishop? I'm in Nashville. Da-da-da. Yeah, okay. Talk. We talk. He said, yeah. I said, all right, man. Well, we love you. Well, I love you. See you soon. Nah, that rascal is somewhere around here then. I look up, he coming in the door. Hallelujah. Bishop Matthews, what a blessing to be where you are, sir. And we thank God for the anointing that's on your life and for the doors that he's opened. Hallelujah. And I still believe the prophetic utterance that God gave years ago when we met you, that word is still true. It shall surely come to pass. Hallelujah. Not one word is going to fall to the ground. Now let's move expeditiously, praise God. That just means in a hurry. And I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 4, verses number 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Out of everybody in the room, son in the gospel, Pastor Willis Davis, been around me probably longer than anybody. He's heard me preach this before. We got an update. I used to preach it. It used to be titled in different times. I used to preach it. The title was, Maybe You Have a No Good Pastor. But the times have changed so much, people leave when you start saying stuff like that. They cancel you. So tonight we're going to preach, and we've got some added information, hallelujah, from the Lord. Tonight we're going to preach, Is Your Preacher No Good? Isn't that better? That's not better. Yeah, I'm going to ask the questions here. I didn't make a declarative statement. It was interrogatory. Look at your neighbor as a neighbor. Work with the preacher for a few minutes. Don't shut him down. Hallelujah. But ask your neighbor, is your preacher no good? You may be seated. Certainly we're living in the last and evil days, and it is day in which we live. The importance of the ministry, the preacher, is more prevalent than it's ever been. But we live in a time where because of cataclysmic events that are occurring in the lives of people, people are more doubtful and more negative as it relates to the church as to preachers now than ever before. And it is not accidental that Satan would attack this way, because the preacher is necessary. Doesn't matter what Elon Musk does, what he creates, there will never be an autonomous pastor. You will always need the preacher, because every individual is so filled with individuality that there is no one size that fits all. I was talking to a friend of mine who's pastoring another part of the country. He said, August, he said, the people just, man, they about to drive me crazy. They're getting on my nerves. And I just don't, man. I said, well, man, you know, I said, that's job security. He said, what? I said, yeah, man, if the people ever get it all together, they won't need us. I never thought about that. I said, yeah. When your phone rings, that means there's a problem. They need you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I didn't always look at it that way, but praise God, you develop some wisdom over time. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll never forget. I was in a battle. It was in 1995, and times were tight and tough, and I needed $1,000 like it was a million. And one sister in our church called, and she was always had some issues going on. And it was, and every time she called, it was 30 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour. And I didn't know. I was young in ministry, been pastoring 5 years, and I didn't know how to get an hour conversation down to 5 minutes. I didn't know. I know now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You learn. And so she called, and I was trying to figure out where I could get this money from, because I needed it today. And her name came up on my phone. Brother Jackson, I looked at that. I said, I ain't got time for to be dealing with her today. Lord, the Spirit of God said, that's a sheep. You answer that phone. I said, hello. He ain't say how to answer it. He said, answer. I said, hello. Pastor, yeah. How you doing? Fine. She said, well, I got a question. What is it? She said, well, you know I was working at the school. I said, yeah. I said, don't ask me for no money, because I ain't got none. She said, I was working at the school, and I resigned my position, but I'd been working there for a while, and so I took out my retirement. I just took out my retirement, and it ain't much. It's about $3,000. And the Lord told me to call your pastor and ask him what you're supposed to do. I said, bring me $1,000. And I'll get it back to you by the end of the year. Good thing I answered that phone. Sometimes God sends your answer. Amen. And you're running from it. The people that irritate you, agitate you, those are the people that God's trying to get something to you through them. Oh, you only hanging around. I feel like preaching already. You're only hanging around the people that make you feel good. But you need to hang around some people that irritate you. Amen. Because those will be the people that will give you the capacity to stay on your job when the folk get on your job, get on your nerves. Amen. So God is looking for preachers who will stand in the gap. And we have such a man. We have such a man. I was moved by the brother said that, you know, he never heard nobody say nothing bad about that man. My God, I believe it too. Because I've known him a while. I ain't got nothing bad to say about him. Is that all right? Amen. He got corny jokes, but that's just regular. You know, that's just regular stuff. And you got to laugh at them because they so corny. Yeah, this man, he just laughing. Well, I said, you got to laugh at him laughing. Praise God. But that's good stuff. Praise God. That's good stuff. So we find in the text that the writer of the book of Hebrews is talking about and making allusion to the children of Israel, how the gospel was preached to them, and they wandered in the wilderness, did not reach their destination because the word was good, but they didn't mix it with faith. So the premise is simple tonight, people of God, hallelujah, in this quest that we have in the church today to make it all about celebrity preachers and names and money and cars and houses and jewelry, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. It's not about, hallelujah, really the preacher. It's about you having faith in God. And so now we're in a place now, praise God, that people, when they are looking for a church, the churches have to compete for the people. Are y'all going to be all right? Hallelujah. You got to have the zip and the zim and zoom. You got to have that. And people come and ask questions. Had somebody came to our church recently, said, and they after church, they came and said, we like your church. I said, well, good, good, good. Now, when can we meet with you? I said, meet with me? They were considering joining and becoming members. I said, well, you've been a few weeks. You know, this is all of it. We don't have nothing you ain't seen. I can't get no help in here. Because I've been doing this. Can I preach like a field? This may be cathartic for me. I've been preaching now 46 years. And I've been through trying to create ministry to appease people. The singles won't singles ministry. The marriage won't marriage ministry. The young folk won't young folk ministry. The old folk won't old folk ministry. Amen. The handicap won't handicap ministry. Everybody wants something. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when I read the Bible, praise God, Jesus had them all in there together. I can't get no help in here. And so what we begin to, I feel like preaching here. Hallelujah. And so now because there has been come this idiosyncratic ministry where, okay, we've got to preach differently for you and preach differently for you. And then y'all need skits and y'all need drama. And I come on, hallelujah. Amen. Here's the drama. I'm going to preach. And you fix it like you need to fix it. Praise God. I'll never forget Mother Johnson, the wife of Bishop Heron Johnson, who's gone on to be with the Lord. We were there one day after service, at the end of a service. Well, it was at offering time. And Mother was about 85 at the time. And we were standing there, and she said, let me ask you something, baby. How you feel about this drama ministry? I'm not preaching against nothing. I'm just telling you. Praise God. How you feel about the drama ministry? I said, well, Mother, I think it's good. You know, because it opens up people's mind to receive something a different way. Mama said, Mother said, I don't like it. I said, well, why don't you like it? Because it's lying. I said, what, Mother? Lying? No, they acting, Mother. No, they lying. See that man going right there in the offering? Giving his offering? He died last week in a drama. Now he walking, he lying. I said, well, Mother, he's supposed to be dead. They had a simplicity to things. Y'all don't like this. And so now the complexity of this thing, praise God, hallelujah, is trying to get people to hear the word of God when it's simple. Hallelujah. People need faith in God. I'm a witness. The preacher don't have to be able to read or write. If he can preach, I feel the Holy Ghost. And you can believe. The preacher don't have to be able to tune up. He don't have to shake the mic. Hallelujah. But what the preacher's trying to do is trying to get you to believe. Hallelujah. But no matter what the preacher preaches, if you don't believe, the preacher is no good to you. So that's why I come to ask you, is your preacher no good? Because we can be in the same, I feel the Holy Ghost, in the same service, and one of y'all have a good pastor and the other one sitting right next to him, the pastor doing him no good. How in the world can two folk be raised in the same house? Hallelujah. One become the governor of the state and the other one become the prisoner of the state. Hello, somebody. It's because of their belief system. One received the teaching. One received the instruction. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something, brother preachers? Hallelujah. Don't you worry about these folk. Don't let them drive you crazy. Hallelujah. And you begin to take it on yourself, their success and their failure in God. The Bible said, preach the word. And when you preach the word, it's on them to believe the word. Are y'all all right? I won't be long, but I will be strong. I'm about halfway to my seat. Hallelujah. And I know you're glad, but I'm going to tell you something. Hallelujah. You've got to understand, praise God, that when you get this word in your heart and you believe it, you don't have to be pacified. You don't have to be burped. You don't have to be placated. You don't have to be cajoled. You don't have to be called. Hallelujah. I told y'all I've been in this over 45 years, praise God. My pastor has never had to call me and ask me where I am. My pastor has never had to call me, tell me where you at. Now, folk, amen, they'll miss church. And then they'll miss again. Then if you call them, you say, I'm just calling you. I'm fine. I know where the church at. Well, you don't have to worry about me calling you again. Amen. It's because of this pacification, this burping. Hallelujah. Huh? Is that all right? Praise God. That's why you can't have but so many babies at a time. Because it'll drive you crazy. Are y'all all right? That's why there's 9-month gestation period. Revival will kill a pastor who don't have help in the ministry. Hallelujah. And so when you have people, praise God, who've been saved 20 years, but they're belching and burping. Hallelujah. Had one sister several years ago, she said, Pastor, sister, church growing, seem like you don't have much time for me. I said, I don't. I said, how long you been around here? She said, well, about 20 years. I said, I'm counting on you to help me burp some people. All these people in line, you should take half of them. Teach them what I taught you. Pour into them what I poured into you. Pray with them like I prayed with you. Be up half the night answering Bible questions like I did with you. I come to help the pastor tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For somebody to say, I believe the word of God. My preacher is doing some good. When he's teaching the word of God, I take the notes and I go home and I apply the word. And I say, God, how can I help my pastor? How can I help Bread of Heaven? I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Hallelujah. What can I do? Thank God for the gift in the bag. But I need a gift that can't come in a bag. Huh? I need my grass cut. Y'all don't want to have no church. Amen. I got to be out here sweating and cutting grass. Then come lay hands and pray for you. At least cut my grass. This old school teaching. They don't hardly preach like this no more. Because people don't want it. I preach like this on purpose. To run the wrong kind of folk off. So in a few minutes when I give up this microphone, you're going to love Pastor Perkins even more. Thank God for Pastor Perkins. Woo, I don't know what I would do if God had me in Biloxi. You'd be cutting my grass. What you be doing? Because I'm up here praying for you, ministering to you. When you're sick, I show up. When your family dies, I'm there for you. See, y'all got to understand, it's a symbiotic relationship. I said it's a two-way street. Come on, is anybody in a one-way relationship? Anybody ever been in a one-way relationship? All people do is take, 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 take. Come on, hallelujah. It's time to grow up and say, preach the word, man of God. Preach the word, and I'm going to mix it with faith. And you're going to be good for me and to me. And when people see me getting promoted on my job, y'all don't want to have no real church. I had somebody just tell me yesterday, said, Bishop, I got a promotion on my job. And when they told me what they were making, I said, my God, I immediately went to 10%. Preachers have a way of mathematics. We may not know how to do calculus, but we could do that 10%. We know how to move that decimal. And say, you know why I got the job? I said, why? They told me. They've been watching me. And they listed the things that they've seen me doing. And when I went in the interview, the way I conducted myself in the interview. And so they asked me, where did you learn all of this? Said, at my church. My pastor teaches us to be on time. I can't get no help in here. Hallelujah. My pastor teaches us to get to church early. To be on duty. And if we can't, if we're not going to show up, to call and be accountable. I know they ain't doing that everywhere. That's why you can't get this job making this $100-something thousand a year either. Because they ain't trying to give nobody six figures who come right at the time start. Hallelujah. And I tell the members in our church, ask me before you put me down as a reference. A few years ago, they called me, said, so-and-so put you down as a reference. I said, put me down? I said, yeah. I said, are you sure? I said, yes. This is Rick August? Yes. Da, 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 da. You're the pastor of the church? Yes. They said, you're their pastor. I said, okay. Well, all right. So, well, pastor, what can you tell? I said, well, they're always late. That's the first thing. I'm going to tell you that right now. Am I supposed to assume that you come into church late and getting to work on time? Am I supposed? No, you ain't trying to convince me that you love Jesus. And you're doing him worse than you're doing Popeyes. Hallelujah. And when they get here, they go to sleep. I'm almost through, Pastor. What? Oh, Pastor, are you? Yeah, go to sleep. Go straight to sleep. Then when they wake up, they check their phone. I think they're on social media. So they probably going to be doing that on your job. The lady stopped me and said, Pastor. She said, this is so refreshing. She said, in all of my years of doing this, I've never had such an honest report. I said, well, I'm not going to lie for nobody. They need to ask me. And so now the saints know. Ask Pastor. And if I say, nope, I can't give you no reference. I can't. Because I'm not going to be lying for you. Get somebody else to lie for you. Praise God. Because I want to be a good pastor to you. I want you to be well-rounded. I want you to be responsible and to be able to handle your business. Watch this, because Mama used to say, Mama ain't going to be with you always, Ricky. I got to train you and get you ready, because the day may come when I'm not here. And then when you go through things and all you've been used to is running to me, running to me, running to me. But what happens when you can't run to me? Well, guess what? The pastor preaches the word so you can assimilate it. And the devil's always going to try to block that relationship. Why he looking at you like that? See, that's why we have people come from other places who don't know you. Because if we preach and you told us something, you think we preaching your business. And for about 20 years, I'm serious, people tell me stuff and the Lord is telling me to say something about stuff, but I can't say that because they told me that. And they going to think this, that, and other. But now when people say, Pastor, was you preaching to me today? Yes, I was preaching to you. You was in here, wasn't you? I'm not going to be around here. Who am I supposed to be preaching? People driving down the street? Preach to the people in here. Amen. So what you got to understand is you have a jewel. And these pastors are jewels. And they ain't flashy. They ain't showy. But don't you let nobody who comes to Nashville. God bless you. God sent me here. Because they'll try to steal your people. Because I'm just radical like I am, people try to take our people all the time. They say, we know you can't be happy over there. August don't need you. He ain't gonna even miss you. All them people they got over there, just come on. The people come right to me. Pastor, they try to take me. Who that? I say, all right. I call them and say, I heard you about it. Doc, I need some help, Doc. I said, you need more than regular help. But people can't understand why people love their pastor. Because when the pastor loves them, and the pastor will lay down his life for them and show up for them. But don't let his humanity, there's three things real quick. His humanity, because he's human. He cries, he hurts. Amen. He has imperfections. And sometimes people see the humanity of the pastor and they let that block their capacity to hear his voice. But he's human. Jesus was human. And his humanity stopped people from believing in him. Yes, it did. Hallelujah. They did. They said, ain't this Mary's son and Joseph's son? And don't we know his kinfolk? And let me tell you something. Praise God. Hallelujah. His own family. Read it in John when you get a chance. Praise God. Chapter 7, right, you know, around the 6th or 5th or 6th verse, says his own family didn't believe that he, because he was so human. They saw his humanity. But you got to look past his humanity and hear his word. Then the second thing is his homogeneous nature. Homogenization is where, you know, they go to take milk through a process and it keeps all the cream, the molecules together, makes everything similar or the same. And so this man is an exceptional man of God. But I'm telling you, there are some people, praise God, if you want to start comparing and contrasting, oh, they have this and they have that and they zip and they zoom and they do. But because he's just common, just like you and me, he's common. He don't come in. What's your name? Russell. Some people can't handle that. They want somebody who's apostle. Russell Steen. You know why? Because people trying to make themselves something. I got to make you something so I can make me something. But just that homogeneous nature, that's powerful. And then the final thing is that humility. The humility he has, Jesus had that kind of humility. But you know what? Don't make your pastor have to try to. Let me tell you something. Beautiful spirit. Beautiful spirit. This is my new exercise regimen. It's the only place I sweat. Hold on. This humility that you have, if people don't know how to handle that, they'll take it for weakness. They'll take it for weakness. And so God sent me with a word to say to you, bread of heaven, appreciate the humble nature and comport yourself likewise. Bring yourself under subjection to the man of God. Well, he doesn't have to come to you and say, you got a minute. You say, I don't do that. But see, I pass the gangsters. Come on, I get people come straight out of jail. I'm not making this up. I can't be up here, my brother, come. No, go somewhere, sit down, boy. Amen. You coming out the Crips and the Bloods. I got to let them know I believe in the blood too. But I don't pass to everybody the same. But if I have to do that, we got people been part of our church. They know that. Praise God. There's people I've never corrected one time. Never had to correct them one time. They bring themselves into line with the preaching of God's word. Hallelujah. And so your pastor has an anointing on his life. I'm prophesying to you, sir. I told you yesterday, and what I told you, hallelujah, as we sat at that table, I mean every word. Hallelujah. God is growing this church in maturity first. In maturity first, then numerically. And as we grow in maturity to need less, to be less demanding, and to find out, where do I fit? Now, pastor, God has given him a vision. And as he began to share yesterday, my heart was just filled. I said, pastor, you just got to start speaking the vision to the people. And as you speak the vision, the people will hear where they fit. And when you hear where you fit, take that upon yourself. And say, pastor, you don't have to worry about that part. I got that. Pastor, I heard you talking about this needs to be done. I got that. I got that. And you'll look up, and this place will be too small. And the next place will be too small. Y'all don't want to have no real church. I'm trying to tell you that this is an exquisite leader. And you now have to make him a good pastor. You got to make him a good pastor. Not just a good man. A good pastor. What determines if he's a good pastor? The quality of your faith. Your obedience. Y'all don't like that's a cuss word. Folk don't even want to get mad. I don't know when the last time I performed a wedding for people. They going downtown. All kinds of stuff. Because I got to say that word obey in there. It's quiet up in here, boy. We don't mean this. It's a four-letter word, but it ain't cussing. It's obey. Obey them that have the rule over you. Pastor, and you see how he is. If he just asked you, hey, brother, can you help me? Yes, sir, pastor. And then they'll get so good till you don't have to ask you. Be like David was on the run. He was thirsty. And he said, oh, that I had water. From the wells at Bethlehem. Those men, hallelujah, who he had poured his life into, heard him ruminating. They heard him. He didn't ask them for it. They heard him express a desire. And they went beyond talking about, man, that's good. My pastor, good pastor. My leader, a good leader. Man, he there. No, no, no. I heard him express a desire. And now I'm moving to make that happen. We do it everywhere else, but in the house of God. We take initiative on the job. We get plaques and trophies and stars. Some of us on our uniform, we got all these stars. You need some stars in here. Need some stars in here. Need some stars in here. I pledge allegiance. I pledge my commitment, my resources, my support, and whatever I've torn up tonight, I'll come back and fix it. Amen. But every now and then, God has to send somebody to say what you won't say. But you better believe it needed to be said. Y'all ain't got to like me. You ought to at least say amen. Come on. All right. Come on. Hallelujah. You don't get the option. It's all in here now. And let's get loud with it too. Amen. Now watch what happens. If I be a man of God, watch God honor this word. And you're going to see people coming, being drawn. And guess what they're looking for? They're looking for a man that's human, that has a nature that's homogenous. He ain't trying to be all great, and he's humble. And God's going to bring people with that nature, and they're going to submit themselves. And saints, you got to be ready to align with the vision so you can help. All this going home every day, laying down, putting your pajamas on at 4:45, that's over. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. We have Zoom sometime and all the cameras off. I said, what y'all doing? It's 5:00 in the evening. Well, we came on and got comfortable. Put some clothes on, turn them cameras on. What we gonna do? But Jesus said, night coming, no man can work. We got lights now. What we gonna do? Somebody needs you. Pastor, I love you tonight. I thank God for you. We're committed to you. Praise God. Our church gave an offering. Amen. Amen. And we thank God for you. And that's just symbolic. That was a symbolic offering. Greater is coming. Greater is coming. And it was a good offering. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Hallelujah. Are you here tonight? Praise God. And you want to make your pastor, I'm just talking to the members of Bread of Heaven. I want to commit to make my pastor a good pastor. He is a good pastor. He may be a good pastor to somebody else, but he may not be a good pastor to you because you're not operating in the belief systems that he's preaching. The people don't know that your pastor preaches the integrity that he has because you manifest something a little different. Maybe your commitment hasn't been like it needs to be to this house. And you want to step up tonight, and as I pray a corporate prayer, hallelujah, over this house, over this man of God, over this woman of God, over this house, hallelujah, this is not about me. Beloved, believe me, this is not about me. But this altar is open if you want to make that commitment.